Hey, welcome back everyone to the channel. Tonight we have a horrifying story about this family that lives on a small farm in the middle of nowhere. When not only cattle and sheep are mutilated and destroyed, but also their bull is massacred. Now the parents obviously know something that they're not discussing to these children, and what happens and what they actually encounter in this story will horrify you. If you're new to the channel, subscribe, click on that bell, and smash that thumbs up and tell a friend. I must be the only country boy who is content with his city accommodation and urban lifestyle. Every day I wake up grateful for the fact I could only see lights and workers outside of my window rather than what I saw on my family's farm. My mother would call me crazy. My father would think I'm an idiot. I think I got off easy. I still believe I was born to be a farmer. But whatever was born on my family's land is better in the eyes of Satan than I could ever be in the eyes of my folks. I was the second child of six children, five boys and one girl. My mother heading to the hospital on labor became an annual routine for the first few years of my life. My older brother was a year ahead of me, and the rest below me followed with only a year between them, my little sister being second to last. As soon as us boys could walk, we could work. As soon as my sister could talk, she could ask what my old man wanted when he finished working with us. We took after father, she took after mother. Despite the rough, emotionalist stereotypes of Southern fathers, my old man was a great dad. He'd play tag with us in the fields. He'd go the bumpiest routes in the tractor. He'd make us laugh while teaching us how to be good farming hands. God forbid you got on his bad side. His good side was so pure that's all I could remember from my childhood from him. My mother loved him more than anything, which meant my sister loved him too. We were a happy family and looked after each other. We took pride in what we did. When a fox got one of the chickens, we'd all be angry. If a wolf attacked one of our sheep, we'd all know the shotgun was right by the front door. So when one of our bulls got mauled and was found with its intestines outside of its body, none of us knew quite what to do. I remember all six of us standing around its body. Us kids were all mad because we knew we needed him for the cows. Looking back, my father's expression wasn't one of anger, but confusion and concern. I was the first to talk, being the most outspoken of my brothers. "What do we do? Maybe we can..." My father interrupted me. "Go back to the barn. See the cattle is okay. Take your brothers." I lingered for a second but knew better than to talk back to my father, much less disobey him. Me and my brothers were all sitting around the barn. We knew that if we were ever really sent there, our only real job was to wait for our old man. "What the crap could have done that?" I clipped my little brother for swearing. "Nothing. Must have just been a wolf. A few wolves," my older brother responded. "Ain't never seen a wolf that could do that," another chimed in. "Will you all calm down?" I interrupted. "Pops is out there for a reason. If he doesn't tell us to worry, we ain't gonna worry." "Of course you'd say that, Daddy's a little favorite. I bet you'd ask Mom to let you rub the toilet if you knew Pops was the last to use it," my older brother spat loud enough to know I heard. "Shut up, Miles. You're just mad because you couldn't watch the cattle give birth without passing out," I returned. The rest of my brothers laughed as Miles slammed his fist into the wooden wall and got ready to come after me, but the barn door burst open. It was our father. The look on his face told us to stand to attention and not say a word. He stared at all of us down for a few seconds. It felt like minutes. He finally broke the silence. "Work's done today. I'll take care of the rest. Go straight to the house, no wandering."
"But Pops, we've only been out of here a couple hours. Can I stay and help?" I sheepishly muttered.
"Did you not hear me, boy? I said go to the house."
Me and my brothers stood in shock for a second before scurrying out of the barn. My father was always stern with me, but never shouted. Not at me. My brother was right. I was his favorite. I was 15 at the time, and it was obvious he wanted me to take over the farm one day. I had always been strong for my age and could work like a mule. All my father's friends would say I was turning into him, and I think he liked that. A lot of my brothers were enjoying being young too much to care about the farm, but I loved what and who I was. My mother and sister were confused when we all got back so early. We told her about the bowl, and her face went white. She enlightened us just as much as my father did. We all went to bed puzzled that night. We were used to being tucked in by 9 p.m. due to our early starts. But something woke me up that night. It was my mother and father's voice downstairs, an hour or so after we all normally slept. If they were speaking subtly, I wouldn't have heard them, but this wasn't subtle. I heard the rasp in my dad's raised voice, and the hysteria in my mother's cries. I slowly crept towards the staircase so I could hear what was being said.
"You said that it was Bill. You said it wasn't coming back," my mother said.
"Well, it frickin' is, Viv. What do you want me to do? I did all I could, and it's back."
I could tell that both wanted to scream at the top of their lungs, but neither of them wanted to be responsible for waking up the kids. I had no clue I was the only one awoken by this.
"We need to leave, Bill. We can't go through this again. Not now. Not with the kids."
"And do what, Viv? I mean, for Christ's sake. This is our home. What do we have except for this place? We can't get chased away by some myth, some boogeyman."
"It's not a myth, Bill, and you know it. You've seen it."
"Not another word, Viv. You hear me?"
"Or what? You gonna do something worse to me than that thing will do?"
"Viv."
That seemed to be my father's breaking point. The ferocity of his scream hit me as if it was me he was arguing with. I leaned back from the staircase, and the floorboard beneath me let out a quick, loud creak. Both my parents' necks snapped up in my direction. I was too uncomfortable in their gazes and the silence not to say anything.
I'm sorry.
And with that, I ran back to my bedroom. I heard my father's footsteps thumping up the stairs. Me and my brothers slept in two separate bedrooms. One had a bunk bed, mine had a bunk bed and a single bed, and my sister had her own room. I slept on the single. To my surprise, I heard my father enter the lone bunk room first. Maybe he didn't see it was me. His footsteps continued until our door crept open, and I saw the silhouette of my father and two brothers behind him, still groggily and the sleep we're still forced out of. His footsteps continued until our door creaked open, and I saw the silhouette of my father and my two brothers behind him, still groggy from the sleep they were just forced out of. My father knocked on the open door to wake the rest of my brothers, signed, and then we sat at the end of the bed.
"Sorry to wake you boys, we need to talk," he said as he picked up one of my brother's action figures and fiddled with it as he spoke. "Now, your brother here just heard me and your mama having a pretty rough conversation. It's nothing to worry about, me and her are fine. I just need you boys to understand that it's a stressful time right now."
"What about our bull?"
My mouth was working without using my mind's logic. I regretted the words the second I let them leave my mouth, and I braced for a telling off. I was surprised to see my father's face sink into a contemplative state rather than an enraged one. The room went silent.
"Wolves," my father finally said. "Big wolves, and lots of them. Real big, angry, nasty bastards that love coming for our bulls and cattle round here. They ain't like no other wolves we had seen before. Your Uncle Fred in town says he's seen a whole bunch of them taking down bulls, horses, you name it. Now, we'll handle these wolves, boys, but you all need to promise me for me and your mom's sake not a single one of you will ever go wandering off or exploring or whatsoevering through the woods or hills until we take care of these wolves. Do I make myself clear?" We all nodded confused. I said, "Do I make myself clear?" He repeated like a coach with the game plan.
"Yes, Pops," we all replied in unison.
"Good. Now get back to bed and get some sleep. We got a big day tomorrow."
I heard the rustling of my brother's bed sheets and the patter of feet returning to bedrooms. In a few seconds, it was as if no one had even been awake. But I was. I heard what my parents were talking about downstairs. They weren't discussing some wolves. wolves aren't a myth, and all the wolves we've dealt with here had never came back and never would. What the hell had I heard? I didn't know if I was going to be able to fall asleep. All I knew at the moment is that I was going to figure out what was going on and protect this family the way my pops raised me to. We all woke up at 5:30 a.m. to the usual thudding on our door. We staggered downstairs for breakfast the same way we always have, but something was different. The shotgun wasn't by the door anymore. No one else seemed to notice, but it was on my mind all day. Well, it would have been. I was given more things to think about soon after. I had never seen my father work so little. He sent us to labor just the same as he always did, but rather than help us, he watched. He'd pace the hills and trees with his eyes, slowly shuffling in rotation to glance at every inch of land as we sweated. He brushed off all our mistakes in order to continue his unpaid guard duty. Something was very wrong. The final nail in the coffin was when he drove past the sheep. It looked like a good quarter were missing. "Where'd all the sheep gone, Pops? I know we ain't eating that good tonight," my older brother shouted over the tractor's growl. "Oh, sold 'em, son. Yeah, sold 'em to a buddy Marcus next town over. You remember Marcus? He picked him up sometime this morning." He was so obviously lying. He never do business without me or my brother there. He lectured us on how to avoid being taken for a fool or talking yourself out of what the Lord owes you. Bad things were happening and we all knew it. I was enraged by how little everyone else cared. All they could think about was tonight's dinner or heading in the town on the weekend. I was the only one losing sleep over this, it seemed. Every day went on like this. Murmured arguments at night, livestock missing and lied about, animals too big to be prey, torn apart and massacred. Me and my father started talking less, and tension filled the air at times we did. He knew I knew. We grew poorer as these wolves kept slaughtering our assets. I saw less of my father as he spent every free moment he had with whiskey in one hand and the shotgun in another roaming the fields. It took a year of decline before I broke the routine. There were arguing downstairs again. I wasn't sleeping much, so I heard as usual. Something about that night just dragged the rage out of my stomach and up to my throat as I bursted through my bedroom door. "Will you two shut up?" I screamed from the top of the stairs. My dad's eyes locked onto me, shocked and sheer aggression in his gaze.
"What the F did you just say, boy?"
"You heard me," I began heading downstairs. Anger was outweighing my reason. "Every single night I hear you arguing over your lies you're going to tell us next. How about you save your time and just tell us you don't give a shit no more?" My father marched towards me and we met each other, inches away from each other's faces.
"You little shit. Do you have any idea what I would do for you boys? Any understanding of what I go through to protect your ungrateful ass?"
My brothers and even my sister were forming a crowd at the top of the stairs watching everything unfold. "All I understand is that you're running a failing circus, and you're trying to drag us down with you before growing the balls to tell us what's really going on here."
"You better stop now, boy."
"Why should I? Your imaginary wolf's gonna get me?" Before I could even regret what I said, my father's fist caused my neck to jerk into my shoulder and I fell to the floor. I looked up at him and watched him pant with fury and disappointment as my mother grabbed him and pulled him away. I wiped my lip with the back of my hand and saw blood smeared on my index finger. I scrambled to my feet and climbed the stairs, barging my way past my brothers and sister. I heard my father shouting as I ran to my room.
"That's it. Run away. Leave me to handle while you hide under my roof, eating my food, my damn farm."
I'm sure my brothers would have checked up on me, but I wasn't there. I went to my room, ran straight past my bed and climbed out the window and down to the yard. I kept running. I didn't know where I was going or even why. Maybe I just wanted to cause the old man stress, but I kept going. I ran past our pathetic excuse of a farm and into the hills. I didn't even run anymore. I walked. I wasn't stopping. The adrenaline wouldn't wear off. Then I'd feel the embarrassment of what I just did. Then I'd cringe and tighten my lip, feel my gut, and my adrenaline would come back as the embarrassment faded. I followed this cycle for what must have been a few miles. I turned back and saw my own house as a tiny speck of light in the distance. I could see everything after all the hills I'd climbed. I saw the white flashing movement of headlights in the nearest town, the yellow twinkle of streetlights in the next, and the burning red of two eyes blinking in the woods. There were eyes in the woods. It was about a football's field length away from me, hiding amongst the branches, but it couldn't be mistaken. They were like the eyes of a dog in a camera's flash, but a blazing deep maroon color, disappearing for a slight second each time they blinked. It blinked. I did not need to see its form to know I was being stared at. I was much further up on the hill than it was, but before I could search for any kind of comfort in the distance between us, it blinked again, but the blaze went dark. I heard the distant rustling of leaves and snapping branches, followed by the worst thing I have ever heard, a deep guttural growl rumbling through the hills. It was followed by a bark. It was like a dog's, but way deeper than any breed could ever force from its lungs. But before I could process what I was hearing, a creature ripped through the tree line, and the sound of a giant, powerful paws galloping towards me began. It was too dark to make out the detail. All I could see was the gut-burning sight of a huge figure on all fours coming towards me. Its satanic eyes blazed brighter than before as it climbed the hill faster than any creature I've ever seen or known of could. My panic thawed my fear-frozen state as my human instincts set in and I set off running. It could have caught up with me in seconds if I ran in a straight line, so I set off sideways into the woods, in hopes that the trees and the darkness would give me enough obstacles to cover to buy some time. I remember zigzagging through the trees as the monstrous growls and barks echoed behind me. I felt branches rip through my clothing and skin as I sped past them. My ankles began aching and calves started burning, but I wasn't stopping. The thud of paws grew closer. There wasn't enough oxygen in the nighttime air to fuel my lungs for the sprint I was powering through. I heard the footsteps. It was catching up. I forced my body forwards until my heart felt like a smoking car engine ready to blow. Just as I felt my muscles shut down, my limbs shredded and snagging themselves through some bushes, and I landed on the hard, compact soil of a dirt road, blinded by the headlights of a familiar truck. Dust surrounded the vehicle as it skidded to a halt. The door swung open and my father's shotgun in hand spilled out. He dragged me to my feet and held up my head, both hands on either side of my face. "You okay, boy? What the hell happened to you? Are you hurt?" I was too winded to spit a word out. "That's okay, boy. Let's get you in the truck and get you home. Your mom will take care of you." My father helped me into the passenger seat. I could hear the fear in his voice and the hope that I hadn't just seen what he suspected I did. I stared into the woods from behind the dirty truck's window. There were no eyes. Whatever was chasing me gave up once my father appeared. It took a few minutes of driving for me to catch enough breath to assure my father that I was okay. Just a few cuts and bruises. I wasn't ready to mention the damage done to my mind. I could tell he wanted to lecture me, but the relief of finding me smothered his animosity. We pulled back up to the house. I went to leave the truck, but my father grabbed my shoulder.
"Look, son, I'm not proud of earlier. I hope you aren't either. It's just, I just don't want you feeling left of a business that's going to be yours one day. From now on, if there's anything I could do or tell you, I want you to..."
I interrupted my father.
"I know what's out there, Pops. I saw it. I know you know what I'm talking about. Just make sure that when the day comes that you go after it, let me come, so I can watch that son of a gun hit the ground after we pull the trigger. That's all."
I saw my father swallow his denial in secrecy. He didn't even scold me for swearing, just gave me a small nod of agreement, and with that, I headed back to the house. My mother bursted into tears and hugs when she saw me, then hit me, then hugged me again. Even my brothers couldn't conjure up enough masculinity to hide their relief. I caught my older brother rolling his eyes when he saw me and my father on good terms again. I don't blame him. He wouldn't have gotten off as lightly as I did. My father stuck to his word. Every time he went out to hunt that thing, he'd bring me with him. After a few months, he even gave me my own gun. I'd watch him put our weapons back into his drawer at the end of each hunt. He'd obviously been buying more without us noticing. Shotguns, handguns, and something that I could only call of a mix in between a knife and a sword. For 2 years, me and my father grabbed our guns and headed into the hills. It was bittersweet. Livestock was still disappearing, and you'd never really relax, but me and him were talking, almost bonding. I tried whiskey with him for the first time, clutching a shotgun and staring through the water in my eyes in case I saw a monster. It was far from normal or even healthy, but I didn't mind it. We heard it sometimes. My bones would rattle when we heard a distant rumble of growls or a monstrous bark, but I kept my shotgun molded to my palms. Sometimes we'd hear the crunching of woodland under giant but quick paws. We opened fire sometimes, mostly into the air, occasionally into the woods. My father said it happens a lot. If he couldn't kill it, he wanted the scared off. Each small encounter would fuel our determination. We even found ourselves chasing the noises after a while. We got a better tracking at it, and with each round that left the chamber, each day would get easier. Less livestock missing, less arguments, less worry about the farm, and more optimistic family. It was actually working. As the years passed, my sister had become a lot more like my mother, loving, caring, sweet, and eager to do anything to help the family. With her being the youngest, my mother never told her about what me and my father were doing in between leaving the door and returning to it. Me and my father would clean our boots on the porch before going back inside. It started as a way to make sure everyone was in bed, then became a reason to talk a little bit more without the paranoia, then it simply just became a habit. My mother would see the damp floor sponge each morning and offer to clean them the next time, so my sister offered the same, but there was no way in hell we were letting either one of them outside of the house at night after what we had seen. We had followed our usual routine. Me and my father drank, hunted, drank some more, and then called it a night. We didn't hear a peep for whatever was out there. We came home, washed our boots, then went our separate ways to bed. The last thing I remembered before the awful reality set in was a dream. Me and my father had finally got him, a giant hairy beast with fangs and the limbs of a predator laid before us, a shotgun wound in its chest. Me and my father were about to make a toast over its monstrous body. Then I was forced to wake. I heard my mother scream. She had gone downstairs about an hour after our usual bedtime for a glass of water. She had found my sister's bedroom door open, the front door unlocked, a wet sponge by me and my father's half-cleaned boots, and a splash of blood on the porch leading into the fields and up the hills. Every single one of us sprung out of bed. We watched my father receive the news from my mother as we huddled on the landing. I had never seen rage like it. This was nothing compared to the night we fought. My father sprinted to his room and returned with shotguns and handguns for all of us. As he handed them out, I spotted the giant machete-like blade tucked into his waistband. He gave us all a quick prep talk, explained that our sister had been taken, and that we were to open fire on whatever we see besides her. My brothers were too scared, and in the state of panic due to anything but comply. I saw my older brother grab our wood chopping axe. As we began spilling out the door, my father gave me the same nod as the night he had picked me up in his truck. Tonight was the night. We screamed my sister's name for hours. Nothing. The blood splatters only led us to a few feet, then it was guesswork. We all prayed that it was left by whatever took her rather than hers. I remember the nervous burn in my stomach as we abandoned the fields and headed to the woods. My father was too determined for nerves at this point. The closest he got to anxious was when all my brothers' faces went pale at the sound of the beastly groan and the thump of paws. Me and my father recognized the sound. In the distance, in what looked to be an opening in the woods, two red eyes appeared. Before I could decide on fight or flight, my father's scream sounded, followed by a hurricane of gunfire. We all followed his lead. We moved in on the creature as we shot, and for the first time, I began making out its awful form more clearly. It had the snout of a canine, but its rage-engulfed eyes couldn't be mimicked by anything but a human. Its two-legged stance towered over us, thick and hairy. It looked like a werewolf, but moved the way you would imagine a Sasquatch doing so. It was the worst thing any god could have ever created. I heard one of my brothers let out a terrified yelp a few seconds into the bullets flying. From the corner of my eye, I saw him drop his handgun and set off running. The beast, unbothered by our rain of fire, spotted him and folded onto all fours and chased after him. My father roared as he reloaded his shotgun, all whiskey gravel and hatred. Even while reloading, he kept his eyes on the abomination. I didn't, and I'm glad my father didn't get the same view I did after the creature went after my brother. Laying behind where the creature once stood was my sister, my beautiful, innocent, sweet sister, ripped to shreds like the mauled bulls and slaughtered sheep we became so used to discovering. I fought the tears as my father fired round after round into the animal's back. The shots weren't completely useless, but the thick layer of fur and muscle were preventing any real damage. It was now doing to my brother what it did to my sister. My brother's screams ended quick. We all watched as the demon carried his lifeless body towards the fields we had left only moments ago. We chased and shot, until we were back at my father's land, our land. The creature was clearly growing annoyed with our assaults as he turned towards us and let out a deep bellowing flurry of barks, like an angry fighting pit bull trying to snap its leash and attack its opponent. It grabbed my older brother and began chewing into his neck. My father lunged at it, grabbed the axe that was lodged into my brother's belt, and almost got a swing on the creature before a quick swipe of its claws slashed my father's neck and face as he fell back. It was jumping from brother to brother as I continued my firing and began running out of bullets. Nothing was working. I grabbed the knife from my father's unconscious body and cut the flesh of the beast. It turned to me, its satanic blaze of vision staring into my petrified, adrenaline-fueled gaze. I saw its arm show the same speed that knocked out my father, but before I registered its connection to my face, darkness. I woke up to the sight of the moon. The night was too cloudy for stars. It took a moment for my hearing to return, but when it did, I wished it hadn't. The air was filled with the sound of crickets and the wet ripping of flesh accompanied by the gnawing of blunt fangs. I lifted my head to see all my brothers and father dismembered and bloody. Limbs were scattered like a child's toy on a living room carpet. The beast was scavenging the remains. I began to hyperventilate and my eyes grew watery. It reminded me of trying whiskey with my father. I let out the only pathetic noise I could.
"You ugly frickin' bastard!"
The creature locked onto me once more. I was ready for it all to end now, but despite the glowing red eyes invading my vision, I saw the shimmer of moonlight to my left. It was my father's knife. The creature sprinted towards me and jumped. Its chipped charcoal claws were soaring towards my throat. But I used the last ounce of life within me to grab the blade and lodged it into the only spot of the animal that wasn't protected by a coat or bulk, somewhere between its throat and collarbone. It let out an agonizing screech, followed by a painful howl. I kept my hand on the weapon, and I felt it snag on veins and skin as the creature jolted backwards, causing the steel to leave its throat. It sped off back into the woods, whimpering. I hope it was frickin' unbearable. The darkness returned for a time I can't quite pin down. I don't remember much of what followed, but I must have been awakened by light, red and blue light. I would find out a few days later that my mother called the police. It was the last thing she did. They found her hanging in the barn. The last time her voice was heard was the police phone call. That monster has my daughter. It won't take me. What did they find? A sleeping teenager, not a scratch on him, surrounded by his dismembered family with an axe and a knife. The story was that a boy and his sister had vanished into the woods. The armed family split up across the land to find them, only to be all murdered and mutilated one by one, much like the sister. He then cut the bodies up for disposal before passing out from exhaustion. The mother, who couldn't stand knowing what she raised, had ended her own guilt. I did the worst thing I could have done in my situation. I told the truth. I told them that a part man, part beast, and part dog creature had killed my whole family and that I was innocent. It's been years since that night. I think about it all day, every day, hell, all and every night too. As I said, the only slither of comfort I have now is my city accommodation. The lights stay on all night. Those workers walk past my door every 30 minutes, tasers in their belts and badges on their chest. They keep me drugged up here, but I don't mind it. I don't think I'll ever find myself in a state ever again where I wouldn't swap my memories to be numb. A state where I know what's still out there. Now, I'm among some of the twinkling lights I saw on the hill that night. I only know where I am because of the name of the city came before a psychiatric hospital in my court sentence. I sit here, watching these lights, enjoying the flickering white, forgetting the blinking red.